Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
It's 99.9 KISW Metal Shop, and Northwest Terror Fest is going on at the end of this month. And I believe the first band, or one of the first bands, is it on the 31st, you're the first band of the day, Vitriol from Portland, yeah. Oregon. They are now on Century Media Records. On the phone right now, Kyle Rasmussen, the guitarist and the vocalist for this band. Dude, nice to talk to you, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you guys have been killing it. Your last EP was awesome, came out a couple years ago. You guys have been posting some teasers from the studio. You recording your debut full-length album for Century Media Records. What can you tell us about the album, and when can we expect it to come out, man?
Well, I sadly can't reveal too much until we will be announcing an actual release date soon. But until then, I can say, what can I say?
Yeah, we keep it veiled, keep it mysterious.
Yeah, I can say that we will definitely have new music to hear in some capacity by early fall.
Okay.
Of this year, whether or not that's an album that's out entirely or singles or what, I don't know.
Oh, but, so you guys are like pretty pretty early in the process then, eh? Or am I right?
We're actually not. Actually, we're not.
Okay.
We actually have. Here's what I can't say: that
okay.
we have a full album done.
Nice.
We're actually in the process of mixing right now.
Okay.
But for people that don't know behind the curtain of the industry, there's a lot that goes on between. Delivering the master of a full-length record and the public receiving it physical format. So it's months and months and months of marketing and planning and this and that. So yeah, the album is definitely done. We're not in the early stages of that, but certainly in the early stages of making sure it is as impactful as it can be once it is available.
Who are you? Can you tell us who you worked with on the album?
Yeah, where are you guys working?
Yeah, well, we did the EP with kind of the same team. Like, we were really happy with how the EP came out. We had been searching for kind of our sound, so to speak, for a while,
and
we ended up tracking at a local studio in down in Portland with a guy named Derek Lisi for the EP, and it ended up being mixed by a guy named Taylor Young.
Oh yeah, from
also,
Twitching Tongues and Nails.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dude,
exactly.
That's awesome.
So,
that's really cool.
Yeah. So he mixed the EP. He was really excited about it. We had a hometown guy master it. He did a great job. And you know, it was just kind of going into the full length. It was like, look, we're doing it bigger, we're doing it better, but, you know, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. let's determine what we did right about the EP, why it was a success in the way it was to us, to our ears, and capture that. So Taylor brought this kind of, none of us are a huge fan of modern trends in modern metal production.
Okay.
So when going into how do we make something that could be technically defined as, you know, characteristically defined as technical metal that doesn't sound like modern, quote unquote, tech death, right?
Sure.
Wow. All right.
So it was like,
you got my curiosity piqued. Yeah.
You know, well, I was just, you know, like, who do we go to that can achieve that? Someone that doesn't, won't just default to that voice, you know? And when a buddy of mine who had a connection with Taylor brought that up, I was like, yeah, I mean, if there's one band, if there's a guy in a band that can understand like an oppressive sonic template, it's a guy in Nails. It's a guy in Nails, you know what I mean? So it's like, I reached out to him. I was like, hey, I don't even know if you are interested in this, doing this kind of stuff, but I like your work. I like the aesthetic of your mixing. And he was really into it, luckily, and did a great job.
That's cool.
And then we had a guy do more of a polished master on it to kind of give it that articulation that it needed. And yeah, so we're just sticking with the same dream team. Taylor is working on the mix of the full length right now.
Awesome. Clearly, you guys have been putting a lot of effort and thought into the whole package of this album. And we have a lot of people that we're good friends with here up here in the Northwest that are like really huge cover art. The heavy metal art, you know, art is a huge industry.
Yeah.
Heavy metal art is a huge, huge industry.
Absolutely.
Who do you guys want to tell us who you're working with for the cover art, or like how did
I can tell you that we actually the cover art done. It's been done for some time. I actually reached out to little minor backstory with that is a big influence on me personally and for Vitriol Sound was a lot of the late 90s Brazilian, you know, whether it be Christian or, you know, a lot of the later Floridian stuff like Diabolik. And
yeah, cool.
You know, so a guy that whose work was so closely tied to my favorite kind of epoch of extreme metal is Joe Patagno.
Okay.
Who did, you know, the Motorhead logo.
Yes.
He did,
wow.
You know, did all the, you know, he's like in his 70s, right? So
yeah.
He's like, you know, he did art for, you know, big bands in the 70s. And then somehow through his, I have a book, you should, if you don't know about his story, read about him. He has a book out there. He's an incredible character.
Hey, toss
and
his name back out.
Artist.
A lot of people are listening, right? Toss his name back out so people can.
Yeah, it's Joe Patagno. He did a lot of, I mean, if you've seen it, he's done album art for Vital Remains, for Angel Corpse, for Diabolik.
Yeah.
He did almost all of Christian's early album art covers.
Awesome.
You know, he did, you'll know his work.
Sure.
And he's most famous for doing everything Motorhead has really ever put out. He's
so
designed
cool.
Everything they've ever done. So I just reached out to him on a whim. I found his email on Metal Archives and I was like, yo, dude, I don't know if you're still doing this. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, here's the deal. This is my band. This is an EP. This is a demo. I actually reached out to him years ago. I got this ball rolling like 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah. You were thinking ahead.
I was like, you know, here's some lyrics. Here's some tracks. Let me know what you think. And he was really struck by it. He was like, yeah, I'm still doing it. He's in his 70s. And he busted something out extremely, extremely special for us. And I'm very excited to it definitely elevates the whole piece. So, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, we're definitely taking every step.
Yeah, you got it,
seriously.
Man. It's the world
and,
we
know,
live
yeah,
in now.
It's,
yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah,
and
it always has been, you know.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. You know, I mean, it's you also have people that are kind of racing the clock in terms of,
right.
You know, we have a reduced attention span everywhere. You know, certainly not, it's not a problem exclusive to the metal community. It's just people can't be bothered and people feel the pressure, like artists feel the pressure to be prolific, you know, to continue to put stuff out, to be heard constantly.
Right.
You know, you're constantly operating on the fear that you'll be forgotten, you know.
Yeah, but
people just simply don't want to take the time to like spend 5 years making a record. You know what I mean? Like no one wants to do that because they feel like they can't survive.
Yeah,
to do
like
it.
Who are you again?
Yeah.
Oh, 5 years later?
Yeah.
Like you got
yeah.
So, but man,
exactly.
I'm just glad you guys are putting in the work because more often than not when bands do that, the finished product is 10 times better. than it
yeah.
could have been if you just rushed it out, you know?
Yeah, it's very important to take your time.
And now's the time for you guys to really get that focus and whatnot, because now you guys are on one of the biggest metal and hard rock labels in the world, Century Media, so you have that pedestal to really, your light will
yeah.
shine that much more.
Yeah, well, that's what I told, you know, I told when Philip from Century Media reached out to us, you know, I was like, I've always said all we need is the door opened and we'll
yeah.
like as soon as the teeth are sunk in, you know, it's like that's really all you need. You
yeah.
just need that. Just let me, you know, just the 15 minutes, so to speak, that just like the give me a shot.
Give me a shot and we'll
you know.
Prove you right.
Exactly.
Right.
So we were fortunate enough to get this shot of shots, I guess, with Century Media, and we're definitely not going to squander it. So we're putting everything we have into making this album as important as it possibly can. And I say with no reckless confidence
knock on wood.
It will absolutely deliver even with the highest expectation someone might have. It will not disappoint.
I like it.
Very confident about that.
Good.
That's awesome. Well, I had a question about a song that we actually played on Metal Shop this past Saturday. A few months back, you guys had a video pulled from YouTube for the song The Parting of the Neck. I believe that was a story. What was the deal with that? Was it like a controversial video or was it graphic? Or
you guys got
not
pulled?
Really.
Man.
I mean, I don't. To be honest, I'm not trying to dig it up. It wasn't something we tried to do to be. It was an unfortunate misunderstanding of a decision. The reality is we released a video on YouTube when we weren't a high-profile act. So when you're making creative decisions with your work and nobody knows who you are,
right.
You certainly don't have to be as
discerning.
It was genuine audio of a human tragedy that upset a lot of people.
Fair enough.
That's what I'll say. Okay. I'm not trying to, dig up some clickbait BS. But,
we don't need to focus on
it. I just
wanted
to hear it from the mouth, from your own mouth, so.
Yeah, exactly. It was an artistic decision that unfortunately basically got read as some like loose juvenile attempt to be like
an edgelord or something.
Edgy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where the responsibility of the artist comes in, and regardless of what your intent is, if that's how it's read, then you failed. You know what I mean? So it's
exactly.
Like, that's not what it meant. That's not what I wanted it to mean. And it is what it is. And you learn and you move on.
Yeah. That's cool that you can, that you're not defensive about it and you can take understanding of that. That's cool.
Yeah.
So
I think one of the biggest parts of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of communication discourse that followed that with people of, family members of the person in question even. And, there was a lot of good information shared. There was a lot of things, I learned a lot as someone that deals with difficult subject matter in the stuff that I make.
Right.
And that's important, it's important to figure that stuff out.
Amen. Hey, so what I want to do right now is just kind of pivot and go back. Let's go back. Let's go back in time a little bit.
Yeah.
One of our favorite questions to ask here on Metal Shop is what we call like your light bulb moment. And a lot of us have that moment. In fact, I would argue that the majority of us have that moment when we were a kid. There was either a family member or an album you heard or a concert you went to or a song that you heard, something like that. What was a light bulb moment for you? What made you want to start getting into heavy music? What made you want to start playing guitar? Like, is there a specific moment where you're like, yo, this is it now? You know what I mean?
6 years old, Four Horsemen beating me in the face from a silver Sony boombox that my dad had in the living room.
Thanks, Dad.
I can tell you what the carpet smelled like.
Yeah.
Like, you want to, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, that moment was, certainly one of the more, that might be my most memorable. That might be my earliest memory, frankly.
Damn.
It sounds like some sort of like metalhead virtue signaling, but it's true.
No, that's you,
like,
though.
It's just like, it's true, man. Like that, I was lucky enough that I had a stepdad that came into the picture that, my mom was kind of robbing the cradle, a younger guy that was, grew up with the whole Bay Area thrash thing. And
that's awesome.
Turned me on to, Testament, Metallica, and Slayer, and Ozzy and all that stuff, but
ripe
it was
really
Metallica.
6 years old, huh?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So it was. Yeah, I was lucky. I was lucky to kind of grow up around that stuff. So it definitely, expedited the process of discovering heavier things. Where like a lot of my friends that listen to heavy music now, they're like, "Yeah, I got started with punk and whatnot." I'm
right.
Like, no, dude,
right.
I was
no.
just mainlining thrash. I was mainlining Slayer at six. So it's like,
nice.
Of course my band is going to sound, the way it does.
So getting into metal that early, were you in any bands prior to Vitriol?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in a kind of like a deathcore death metal band back in the day called Those Who Lie Beneath.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember that band.
Yeah.
I think I saw you guys with Open Fire.
Maybe, yeah. Wow, yeah. That would have been, we played.
That's
we did
weird.
A
I was in Open Fire. I was in that
really?
Band.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I played bass in that band.
That's so cool.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Wow, we're going back, baby. We're going all the way back.
Yeah, I know Steve still. And,
Mr.
Jackson.
I know all those dudes. I know Fish. I hang out with, I don't know if you know John, but I hang out with John all the
John
time.
John Barron used to be the Metal Shop intern.
He used to be, he was our first intern, man.
John Barron was at the studio while we were tracking our album.
Whoa! Oh, all right,
snap. Right. Mm-hmm. It's a small world.
We're opening up pathways.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So, yeah, we did we played a lot of local stuff. You know, we did like the Fitness Fest stuff like 10 years ago back
oh,
in
yeah.
the day. We did
Viaduct, yeah.
You know, did some shows with Behemoth and stuff up there.
Oh, nice.
We did a little like West Coast, Northwestern run with them in like 2009. So we did some stuff. We did touring. We did we toured with the Red Chord. We had a tour.
Sick.
We had like some international tour with Rotten Sound that got canceled because of a volcano. But yeah, we were doing stuff. And then I got to a point where I joined that band. I'm 30 now, and I joined that band when I was 17. And I was, you know, at that age, you're just like, I just want to play heavy stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, like, and at that, you know, what was that? If that was 13, almost 14 years ago, that was where if you were that age in that time and you wanted to play amongst peers, it was going to be something core related, likely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like the Job for a Cowboys and the Suicide Silences,
well,
or even heavier
that,
than that. Yeah.
That's where a lot of the kids were, you know?
Yeah. All that stuff was coming out right then. You know, the Faceless had like just released like their album, right? Their first record right then. So that was in the air, you know? And it was like, I didn't care. You know, I'm like, I just want to play heavy music. I, at the time, was more into like the Suffocation, the Immolation, that kind of thing.
Totally.
But I was like, yeah, whatever, man.
Oh, so you must be real good friends with John. Real good friends with Mr. John Barron there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a similar mindset, a lot of that stuff. But he, I just kind of had to sit down with the guys, had a heart to heart, and I was like, look, you know, like going into this next record, you know, I definitely want, my heart just isn't in this kind of thing. And if everyone's invested in moving into this, you know, kind of more extreme direction, let's do that. If not, you know, we got to
make a move.
Figure it out. We got to part ways, you know, whatever we got to do.
Totally.
Which was hard because it was like being 20 or 21 and like wanting to basically proposing to throw away like a career that was working at the time was a very difficult thing to try to come to terms with.
And start over.
And was commercially viable in a sense that like that
exactly.
sound is very commercially viable at the time, at least.
Yeah, exactly. So it was tough. It was luckily, I say luckily, but the band just kind of, you know, dissolved on its own. It was interpersonal issues and you know, the vocalist went off to be in the band I Declare War.
Oh, yeah, Jamie, yeah.
I played a bunch of shows with that band.
yeah.
We know those guys, yeah.
Yeah. So he went off into that years and years and years. He did that shortly after those, so I mean, broke up. So basically, the last eight, nine years of my life has been, you know, making Vitriol, like figuring out what Vitriol was in terms of sound and identity and whatever. And it's been a lot of ups and downs personally.
You guys are making moves though right now, man.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool to see. Hey, you know what? I want to follow that up right now. And like, this is a question we ask a lot and it doesn't have to necessarily be anything extreme, but if you have one, if we were to like hit play on like your CD player or radio or device or whatever, like, are there any bands that are knocking your socks off, whether they be metal or whatever? Like, what are you listening to right now? Like, what's going on?
I already heard. I think there's a French black metal band called Drastus that put out a record like a month or something ago. I'm failing.
Hey, that's okay though.
That opportunity,
especially if it's new to
the album right now. But yeah, Drastus.
We got to check it out.
That thing is, I'm telling you, I've shown it to a few people, and I haven't heard a single person that was underwhelmed by it. But yeah, that, the new, Aorados, which is another black metal release that was done by the guy, who is also responsible for Nightbringer and Oclus.
Nice. Okay.
Bestia Arcana and Excommunion, you know, like, so that release is really, really strong. I've been listening to that. As far as new stuff this year, that's about it so far. Pissgrave. I mean, I feel like I can say that. That's a band name.
Yeah. Might not be able to show the album cover, though. That thing is insane.
No kidding. Yeah. This was last year. I was late on the boat to this one, but that Infernal Coil, that new Infernal Coil.
Oh, yeah, dude. That was guys from Dead in the Dirt.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. And I realized I heard their first LP, The Burning Prayer of Infinite Hatred. And I'm like, this is, you know, dope, noisy, harsh stuff. I liked it. And then I heard the newer album, and I was like, man, this is even better. And then I decided to look deeper into the band and realized it was a guy from Ten in the Dirt. And I saw them open for Sun with Attila back in the day.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And they were great. I remember seeing Dead in the Dirt and being like, damn, this band really surprised me, really knocked my socks off. And so it adds up. But that band's rad.
Hell yeah.
I'd love to tour with that band, actually.
And let's make it happen.
That's
in that corner, yeah.
Predestination.
So, yeah.
That's awesome, dude. Hey.
Yeah, there's four name drops for you. I feel like I'm good.
That's yeah, good. You got
we'll
it.
Shout them out. Yeah. We'll give them a tag. I feel like, should we go into the, if you hosted him, like, he kind of just named the bands that he would want to play.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's ask you one of our favorite questions to ask. Just got a couple more. If you could pick a scar on your body and tell us the story about how you got that scar,
yeah,
Kyle.
Man. Hit us.
Oh, man, you couldn't ask this at a better time, man.
Oh, nice.
I have a big vertical abdominal scar where I had a last year and a half ago, or part of the ironic beauty of this success story that Vitriol is having is this time last year, I was spending 3 months in a hospital bed.
Damn. Oh my God. What happened, man?
I had no idea.
I had Crohn's disease. I didn't know. I was suffering from chronic abdominal pain for a couple of years and, you know, no health insurance, whatever. It was just like,
I know what that's
probably
like,
developing a food allergy, you know, whatever. I just wrote it off, you know. And one morning it was just crippling, and my friends took me to the hospital and they were like, yeah, you got a hole in your intestine.
Oh my God. Did you have to have some of your intestines cut out?
Oh yeah, twice. The first surgery failed. They had to do it again.
Oh wow. My God, they botched it.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, it was brutal, dude. It was so and that was before, that was right when Vitriol was like building, like we had just discussed like the release of the EP, like we had just released the EP with Everlasting Spew. We had done the music video for Victim, like, you know, 8 months prior or something like that. So like we were just kind of trying to get to the point that we are now.
Yeah.
And then it was like, we didn't even know if I was going to survive.
God damn.
So it was really like high to like, oh my God, we're going to lose everything, to Century Media wants to sign you.
And now you have some more gruesome stuff to sing about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I have a really cool battle scar.
There you go.
Hey, well, we're talking to Kyle Rasmussen from Vitriol in Portland. That Northwest connection, staying true.
Yeah.
And they're going to be playing Northwest Terror Fest coming up the very final weekend of May all across Capitol Hill. Hey, man, like, I love talking to you. You're a rad dude, and we should hang out when you come up here.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't know we had so many. Yeah,
yeah.
So many mutual connections. So
what? Like, you guys have a huge, huge record going to be coming out maybe later in the year. What are some of your goals for 2019 here for the rest of the year while you're, you know, wrapping things up with Vitriol?
Well,
for this album,
we're going to be hitting. Yeah, well, we're going to be hitting the visual aid hard over the next handful of months. We're just making sure we're going to give you plenty of reasons to keep your attention through every riff of the album, in terms of give you plenty of ways to engage with this material. So we're leaving no stone left unturned in that way, and we're going to make sure we're delivering that as high of a quality as we are on the record itself. So it's that, and then preparing for a lot of touring, you know, making sure that the live show is on par with the record, because that's the thing, is like, if you gotta walk the walk, if you're gonna talk the talk, man.
Amen.
Hey man, I can say now that we know you were pretty much born for this, you are like a bionic metal machine, so that's what you were born for, man. Is you got to be on tour playing music to people, sharing the death metal gospel.
Yeah,
I don't
got
know
a calling,
anti-gospel.
Yeah. You got a calling, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You got to fulfill it.
So we wish you the best of luck with that, and we'll be following along with it and playing your jams. And we look forward to hearing the new record, but we're going to see you at Northwest Terror Fest on May 31st. Is there any final words you want to say to the Seattle audience before we see you on the 31st at Northwest Terror Fest?
If you want to hear 6 out of 10 songs on the new record, come on out.
Nice.
Awesome. Kyle.
There you go.
Kyle, we appreciate your time, man. Kyle from Vitriol.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, we'll catch up with you again. Right about the time that record comes out. Mark my words.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be talking to you soon.
Yeah.
Hey, Kyle, thank you again so much, man. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.